You're listening to the Excelsior podcast. We're over here now. PopRocksRocks.com, baby.
All aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
Right? I know, yeah. I love to fidget. Yeah. I'm a fidget. Or sometimes I'll end up playing with this, and then it's like, okay, wait, it's too much. This is way too much.
Nice.
Well, I'm here with the famous David DeLuke.
Yeah. A lot of people say DeLuke.
Okay, it's, tell me who it is. Yeah, I know, I said it, I was like, I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
It's LeDuc. It's so funny.
I said it backwards, right?
Mm-hmm. Dyslexia is a thing for everyone that knows
my
name.
Because I know your name.
No, but it's funny, my, the singer in Enemy Planes, who I played with for over a decade, literally had me in his phone as DeLuke for, like, 10 plus years.
Are you
and
serious?
He's like, I'm never changing it. And I was like, it's just what happens.
It's everyone... LeDuc.
Yeah,
LeDuc. And I knew that, but I just said it, oh my gosh.
You're fine.
No, I'm the silly one.
It's all good.
Or I'm just, basic. I'm like everybody else. That's just how it is. So yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm blown away by your talent.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I knew you from Enemy Planes,
mm-hmm.
which was a great band. How long was Enemy Planes together?
Well, we started as a band called Pictures of Then, and like, I joined in 2007 or okay. something like that. And then we changed the name to Enemy Planes in 2012. And then had a good run, toured all a whole bunch, and played tons of shows, and it was my passion for a long time. And then I went to the dark side, started making money playing covers, and then in 2016 I was like, looking at a summer, I was like, I could essentially like lose $5,000 this summer or make $10,000. And I was like, guys, I just have to go to the dark side. We, you know, put our blood, sweat, and tears into this for, like, 10 years, and I'm just like, I think I gotta, unfortunately, make some money.
Yeah. And sometimes, when you get older, you kind of make those decisions. That, mm-hmm. like, younger you was like, no, I'll never do that.
No way.
But that's okay. I mean, and I don't know if this is, like, stupid to say, but you're great at covers.
Thanks. I mean, I've been doing it now for a long time, and... thanks for playing your wedding. That was really
oh my gosh. You made the wedding. You made great. The wedding.
It was great. I never heard that Cage the Elephant cover, and I was all about it.
Yeah, that, what is the name mm-hmm. of it?
Whole Wide World.
Whole Wide World, yeah. I was thinking of the guy Eric... The original, but anyways, mm-hmm. I love that song.
Yeah, no,
thank you.
No, it's
that,
beautiful.
And so you actually, the funny thing is I've showed Joe that song, and he was like, "No, I don't like this." But then I showed him your version. He's like, "This is my favorite song," but he wants your version with like,
yeah, well, get in line, buddy. It's never gonna happen. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know, I used to do a lot of recording, and I did a lot of, like, my own demos and videos and stuff, and did a lot of stuff on YouTube, a lot of embarrassing stuff, so if you want to look that up,
oh, I do.
Fun. So I always felt like, I was doing TikTok before it was TikTok, when it was just on YouTube.
Right.
You know?
But then there's TikTok.
And now I'm old,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
And now I don't do that. I don't do, like, content creation much anymore, so I think I outgrew it or something, but...
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with.
Really hard, yeah.
I know.
I admire you doing a podcast. That's a lot of work.
Well, this is my music, I guess. Okay. So yeah, this is less like a content creation, but it's like putting music out there. Mm-hmm. And I also really love your lives that you do on Facebook.
That started really during COVID. I'd never really done a live, but then obviously with COVID, I didn't have a job. Wasn't gigging regularly, and... It was the only thing you could do, really, to have any kind of substitute for, like, a real live show. And, I don't know, people were pretty generous and stuff, so it kind of was like, oh, maybe I should do this again.
Yeah,
it's and like, now I just, like, do it randomly, like, whenever I feel like it. I'll pop on for an hour or something.
Yeah.
But that's my favorite thing to do, even in general, when I play a live show, is I love taking requests. It's, like, it's the best. Like, it could crash and burn and totally suck, and that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's funny. And then if it does really well, everyone's like, holy shit, like, what? Like,
oh, you didn't, I love it.
You know, if I know a song well enough, I can at least do the chorus or, you know, something like, you know, give me an artist and I can at least do maybe like their big song or something.
Yeah, and people love bangers.
Yeah, bangers.
Yeah, it hits somewhere. They like remember it. They're like, I know this song.
Yeah.
I feel good. I'm connecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe too.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you just do, are you just doing pop rocks right now?
Yeah, that's my main gig, doing pop rocks. We play, I don't know, 2 to 3 shows a week, and do some solo stuff. I've been experimenting with show format for solo stuff, doing some, like, Name That Tune and, like, trivia nights and stuff, which has kind of been fun. I play with a couple other, like, the band that I started, the cover band I started was called the MTVs, so occasionally I play with them still.
Oh, cool.
And that's still kind of rolling even without me. It's kind of, it was like fun to like create like a baby and then let it out loose into the world, you know? So it's like still going, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool. Do you get some commission off that?
I tried to do some kind of like little band fund or something, but I just was like, whatever, just go for it. It's fine.
Yeah.
So they kind of do it. If I get a lead, I'll maybe like get a little something, but it's not a huge deal. And there's not enough work really for it to, you know, we're talking about $30 here and there or something. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. So,
that's cool.
But yeah, so I do that, play as much as I can really. I mean, when I joined Pop Rocks, the big lure for that was, well, they were better shows, bigger shows. And then I didn't have to do the booking anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was just, it had been time. Because I've been doing, I've been doing like 8 years of booking my own stuff and grinding, you know.
How is it? Do a lot of musicians book their own stuff? Or do they usually have managers? I think so.
No, I mean, I think nowadays it's kind of like a badge of honor to do everything on your own, right? Mm. Like you kind of have to. And if you don't, then you're paying someone else to do it.
Right. And that's like, that's the part where it's like, I'm barely making enough. Why am I going to? Right.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, I'd rather do this poorly on my own and not owe someone for it.
If you can make enough and have like somebody do that for you, that's the dream.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
That is the
dream. So can we talk about the story of running into you at your show?
At Treasure Island?
That was so fun.
That was a fun show.
That was such a great show. So
yeah, we just kept bumping into each other because I saw you at the Birdhouse and then the comedy show and then TI and it was like, okay, not hey, play my wedding.
I guess that's
just the way it's gonna happen.
Yep.
That was great. I love that when that happens. You know, I love playing local shows and bumping into people and like reconnecting and being like, oh, nice to see a friendly face out there.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, when you have a good time, then it's like,
oh my gosh.
Oh, even better.
That was an amazing show, and I was blown away by how talented you and everybody else that you're, all the other musicians.
Thank you.
The costume changes. Oh my god.
It's a fun show, yeah. So, if you don't know, Pop Rocks is like a Vegas-style show. It's like a tribute show to pop music through the decades, and all the singers rotate songs and dress up in costume like the artists that we do. So we do like Lady Gaga and Beyonce and Macklemore and Ozzy Osbourne and Pitbull and Twisted Sister and tons of tunes. Yeah, and it's a really fun show. I've been with that band now for in August it'll be 6 years.
Oh my gosh!
I know.
Wow.
where does time go? But it's great. I love it. You know, I worked my whole life to have a job in music, and I'm, like, pretty comfortable, so.
Yeah, and what a good great name.
Pop Rocks.
It's so perfect.
The guys, we just got back from overseas doing a tour for the military, and our two guys did a radio interview, and at the end of it, they had Pop Rocks and just let the Pop Rocks rock in their mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
For the end of the interview.
So I'm going to say that we have some, like, Asian version of Pop Rocks.
Ooh.
And then we have to remind me because we're going to do an outro where you're like, you introduce yourself and then you open your mouth and it's like, can we do it? Okay.
Yeah,
I think that would be so fun. That I love it. Okay, so how many do you do anything else? You just do music, right? You don't have jobs.
Well, I own my house. I have some roommates. That really helps a lot.
Blake.
Yeah. Blake. He's moving out though.
Aww.
Yeah, he's moving out at the end of this month.
Where
is
he going?
I mean, this last month he was like in Costa Rica and traveling.
Ew.
And yeah, he was just
his
been
life's so great.
I think he's just kind of like, all right, it's time. I'm getting out a Dodge for a while or something. So
oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
So I think he's gonna be a little travel,
fun.
Little wanderlust boy for
fun.
A while. I don't know. I haven't talked to him much. I actually just saw him today for the first time in like a month. So I'm like, oh hey dude, welcome back. You're alive.
Wow,
that's good. Yeah, so I have roommates, and I just started teaching pickleball on the side, beginner pickleball.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I have a lesson. I'm giving a lesson on Friday morning.
That's so fun.
Yeah, I have three students right now.
What are the ages of the students?
They're all like 50s.
That's what I thought. Okay,
they're a bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, fun.
Yeah, super fun.
So what is, okay, like...
So between all that, I can...
But how do you teach pickleball? Like, I mean, I get, well, like, I teach, like, do you, like, serving and, like,
yeah,
kind of,
like... Well, first off, these are all, like, they started at zero with, I need to know the rules, anyone need to know, like,
okay.
How to play, absolute everything, like...
Oh, my gosh.
From the beginning. But the goal is, you know, you talk to them and say, well, what do you want to do? Like, pickleball can be a very social sport, so there's a lot of places around town where you can go to a court and just... put your paddle in the rack, and then now you're playing with strangers, and like now you're just getting into new games and meeting people, and
oh, fun.
It's a very like social thing. I've been playing since 2016, and I've watched even since then the sport just like absolutely blow up. It's freaking wild.
It is.
I used to be the youngest person everywhere I went, playing all the time, and now I'm like middle of the road.
Wow.
Like recently I got invited to play, like, this mixer at Lifetime, and I was literally, like, one of the oldest and ugliest people there.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, oh, my God, this is a heaven. What is going on? I have found my people.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so cool. And they were all really good. So
oh, wow.
Like, holy crap. No, it's just taken that long for, you know, the rest of the world to catch up.
Yeah. To figure out how fun it is.
Yeah. Terrible name. I know. Everyone rolls their eyes,
well,
especially
know,
like tennis players and stuff. So, yeah.
Like, what does it come from again? I think someone told
me heard that. I've heard the rumor that it was whoever started this sport, their dog's name was Pickles, I think. But I don't know. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
I was hoping it was something more, I don't know, enticing,
yeah.
Fun. Creative, whatever. Well, it's fun. I like the name. It's the dogs are so loud. Well, okay. So, all right. So, food-based podcast.
Food. Okay. Food.
Food. You love pizza.
I love pizza.
But you hate olives.
I do hate olives. They're gross. They're very gross. So I used to also, my whole life, I hated pickles as well.
Well, yeah, because that's similar.
And lately, I don't know if it's like my taste buds are changing or what, but like lately I've been okay with pickles. Like I've been actually buying pickles and like snacking on little baby dills. Like
what?
I know. I'm like, who am I? So I think there's hope for me that one day I may like olives, but it won't be soon.
Yeah, vinegar. Do you like kombucha?
It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't buy it, but I'll get down with it if
you
it's
see
around.
Those, like, it blows my mind when you see, like, little kids, and they, like, love pickles. Do you see that? Like, kids are weird. They just love pickles, and they love to eat, like, raw lemons. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I don't get it. But, yeah.
Those are some funny videos, too, watching babies eat stuff.
Oh, yeah. And their faces. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's the best.
So
seeing them, yeah. Okay, well, let's eat some pizza, because
okay.
I think the dogs are barking because pizza's here.
Nice.
And then we'll take, a little...
Probably a pretty cute delivery driver just showed up.
I know. It is pretty cute. I should be tipping him, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I did. I just tipped the cooks. Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. All right, let's go.
All right. Sparkling water guy.
So you're just kind of sparkly guy?
Yeah, I love a good...
A good La Croix.
Good bubbly.
La Croix.
La Croix.
La Croix. Do you drink La Croix?
I'll drink whatever's on sale.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... What is your favorite beverage?
I mean, if I'm just being honest, like, what I get most at a restaurant, aside from alcohol, is just, like, a Diet Coke.
Oh, a Diet Coker.
Yeah.
Okay. But no coffee. Converted.
No coffee.
You've been converted? Guy. Who converted you?
Well, I think it's kind of been... Since joining Pop Rocks, they're a very Diet Coke heavy band, and now it's around a lot, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. And then we follow this TikToker who is hilarious and calls them DCs, and so then we, you know, you drink a DC like a gentleman. He's like this an Italian guy. I think his name is Couge.
Oh my gosh, that's funny, really dude. Funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, I gotta look him up now.
Yeah, he does fun little food videos and. I don't know. He's just like this Italian Goomba guy, and he's just, you know, like any TikTok personality, oh right? God. He's just a dork,
yeah, and TikTok you just love him, right? It's so fun, right?
It's so fun. Anyone who doesn't like TikTok, I'm like, you, how are you human?
You don't use it. That's what it is. If you don't like it, you don't know about it.
Yeah.
It's the China app.
Yeah, exactly.
It watches you. It's like, it does watch me, and it knows me very well. So when I'm having a hard day, it plays the videos that I need.
It will make me laugh in 3 swipes.
Yeah. It really, like, makes my day. If I want to veg out, it's like, I know. Yep. I got you. I've been listening.
Yep. I know what you need.
I know exactly what you need. No, that's so cool. Now, okay, that's... Okay, you've been in... Is your whole family... I thought I saw something with you and your sister singing. Is your whole family musical?
Okay, no.
Oh, okay.
No, the crazy story with my family is that I just met my whole dad's side last year.
What?
Yeah. Ancestry.com.
Are you serious?
Yep. It's wild.
Okay.
It's freaking wild.
So wait, so did you not tell... You tell me about it.
Okay. Well... basically, like, the gentleman that was on my birth certificate, his name is Mark, and we thought he was my dad my whole life, and he was not really in the picture from around, like, 6 months old.
Okay.
And, it was until I was, like, 28 when I decided, okay, maybe I want to, like, try to meet this dude. Like, you know, if I, like, found out, like, tomorrow that he had passed away and I'd not ever, like, even tried to meet him or whatever. Just to say that I did, I guess. So I did. And I knew at that time I had an older sister.
Yeah.
And I knew her name. So I went to Facebook, as one does, and looked her up and sent her a message, sent her a friend request. And she immediately replied and was like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this day.
Forever.
She's like, yeah, she's like, I didn't want to reach out because I didn't know if, like, your situation or if you had a dad figure in your life that you thought was your dad, and I didn't want to be the one to, like, come in and just, like, wreck your world.
Oh, my gosh.
Type of thing. So I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, she took the next day off of work. We got together. She showed pictures. We, like, had drinks, and we were totally hit it off. We're like, oh, my God, siblings. Because she was actually an older sibling in her situation, too. And so she always felt like she... never had, like, a sibling that was, like, close to her age.
Yeah.
So she was only a couple years older than me. So, like, we immediately hit it off and we're like, oh, my God, this is so amazing. So, like, and then, yeah, like, I get to know her husband. We, like, me and her husband designed a board game. Like, we were, like,
fun.
Super, super close. And then, like, I don't know, 2 years later for Christmas, we did a, she got me a 23andMe just for, like, a Christmas present. Like,
yeah.
And the results came back that we weren't related.
What? Whoa.
Yeah. And so then we're like, oh, big sad. Like, that's, I mean, we're still, like, close to this day. Like, so, okay. It's totally fine.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up here, but how does that happen?
Okay, because, and I kind of snuck it into the story. I've told the story a bunch. But, like, so the guy who we thought was my dad, his name is Mark. He's on my birth certificate. his daughter is named Kelly, and that's who I'm first talking about now, mm-hmm. who I reached out to initially when I was 28. This is probably, what, 10 years ago now, when I first started looking for my dad, because I, like, didn't have a relationship with Mark, yeah. the guy who was on my birth certificate. And so that's what initially got me kind of looking. And then, so now I'm like, yeah, this is like 30, 31. This is a couple of years later. We did the 23andMe and found out me and Kelly weren't related. And at this point, I had met Mark. I had met who I thought was my dad. And it was all good. I was like, cool. End of story, right?
And like, he's just like, yeah, I'm your dad, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was all understood. It was all assumed that that was the facts, right?
Right. It's legal. It's on your
birth certificate. Yeah. And so then when we did this 23andMe and he came back and we weren't related, it was like, okay, so now either Mark's not your dad or he's not my dad.
Oh, and so my
then it got really weird. So then he did, then Mark did one and came back that Kelly and Mark were related.
Okay. But and you so and then, Mark were
and
not.
And so me and Mark were
did
not
he
related.
Not know that?
He did not know that. My mom did not know that. So now I go to my mom and I'm like, yo, ma.
You have some explaining.
What's up? And she just, like, obviously was very bummed and was like, I'm sorry, but I don't know. And she's like, the only other person I think it could be would be this other gentleman who we already knew had passed away like 10 years ago. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm just never going to know. It's just like, because it's not like, I don't know. There was a part of me that was like, I don't know, maybe she'll tell me something on her deathbed. That's cool. Whatever. Yeah. Or not. But it wasn't, like, worth, like, ruining the relationship. Because I had a decent relationship with my mom.
Yeah.
So then she passed away in 2020. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
And then at that point, I was like, you know, maybe I should try that other one, that Ancestry.com one.
Yeah.
So then I finally did that one. And I got a match with a first cousin, and her last name was Montanez. And I was like, oh, my God, that's... Because my mom is, like, very fair skin, like, very, very white.
Yeah.
And so... And I'm not.
No.
And that's the other crazy thing is that... Because Mark is kind of
darker. I noticed
that
today. Yeah. I was like, you're very tan.
Yeah, I tan very easily in the sun. It's... yeah. So I reach out to this match I got, and... She's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm looking, you know, looking for my real dad. And she's like, I've got two uncles. Give me a day. I got you. And then she gets back to me and she's like, here's the number to my uncle. He knows your mom. You might want to give him a call.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So then we, like, this was last year, last June, we made plans to have coffee and he told me the story. They met at, like, my mom was a manager at a restaurant way back in the day, and he was, they only knew each other for like 3 months or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And it like happened like one time, and like, so like very much could be a thing where, like, you know, she didn't remember because it was
a very, drunk night,
yeah,
or
yeah, yeah, like, yeah, or whatever. It was like a short, very short very term, short like thing. Supposed to be friends type of a thing. So, he never knew, and obviously my mom thought it was someone else. So,
oh my gosh,
yeah, just, you know. Explains a lot of my relationship.
Oh my gosh.
My dad came up to he's from Puerto Rico, and he came up to Minnesota in the 80s on a basketball scholarship. And then after his basketball
this is Puerto Rican?
I'm Puerto Rican.
That makes so much sense.
I'm Puerto Rican. And I found this out last year. Never so identified at all.
Ever as
with,
a Puerto Rican.
Yeah, with like, you know, that kind of culture. And then all of a sudden I have a whole family. Like, and the other crazy thing too is, so I have two sisters, a brother, two cousins, an aunt, uncle, or a bunch of cousins actually. And they all live in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh.
Like my sister, my sister, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, they all live in Robbinsdale, the same town I live in.
Oh my gosh.
It's wild. What? And my dad lives in Rosemount, which is
what?
Very close.
That's very close.
Yeah, it's wild. I got them all into pickleball. He's alive. alive and well, and we are...
So you thought you had no parents, and all of a sudden you...
And now I have whole side of the family. A whole damn fam. And they're, like, all pumped. Gosh. Yeah, they're pumped to, like, know me. And I've lucked out twice now. Because I've heard horror stories of, like, people reaching out with 23andMe and stuff, and...
Oh, either, yeah. People being like, no, yeah. What do you want, money? What
yeah,
you want
exactly. Yeah. That, like, the parents being, yeah. You know, weird, or just the relationship not being cool, or, like, whatever. I mean, there was definitely wrinkles in my story, too, but...
Yeah.
But for the most part, everyone was in a good spot in their life to be like, oh, I'll handle this shakeup with grace, basically, you know? And so I really get along with my siblings. I'm super pumped. I'm actually playing a gig with my brother in September at Glick's. He's playing drums. Yeah. My dad is a pastor, and he plays percussion. So he's like,
he's like this super cool dude.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
So. Wow.
But,
yeah. I have, like, goosebumps. That's so cool.
Isn't that wild?
That's so wild. Like, you found, like, your people.
I found
do you think that you're a lot like them? Yeah, because, I mean, he plays percussion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I look a lot like them, which is cool. Like, I'll like, look at a picture of my sister and me, and we have, like, the same, like, face. Like, our nose and our eyes and our facial structure. It's weird.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so weird.
Wow, but and she lives in Robbinsdale.
She lives in Robbinsdale. Yeah, she has a
Have
house.
Have I met her? No.
AJ, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. It's pretty wild. And
that is so awesome.
Yeah, I have this whole other network. Like, we just all got together not too long ago and had a little barbecue for Father's Day. And
oh my gosh.
It was fun. It was entertaining too, because my one sister is a pretty liberal firecracker, and my dad's wife is pretty religious, and so it was like a nice little nice little clash, fun. Like a little, yeah, it was pretty funny.
And do you have siblings on your mom's side too?
Yeah, so my sister on my mom's side, her name's Caitlin, and she is 11 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
And that's another crazy story too. She actually, we didn't really grow up together that much.
Wait, are you the oldest then? Mm-hmm. Your mom's first? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Your mom's and oops.
My mom's.
That's okay, though.
My mom's.
Her favorite oops.
Yeah, right. So we actually, and she lived with her dad while she was growing up for most of her formative years, and we didn't actually get to know each other until around COVID, when she was in the Peace Corps and got evacuated because of COVID, and she didn't have anywhere to go, so she came and lived at my house. And then that was, like, the first time we actually... like, day-to-day saw each other and, like, whoa. As adults and, like, got to know each other. And,
cool.
Like, I mean, we were close before, but, like, not like that. Not, yeah. like same day. And we didn't kill each other, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, we're pretty close. So, I'm lucky.
Look at this. So you kind of grew up as an only child.
Pretty much.
A single mom.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever have a father figure growing up?
No, my sister's dad was in the picture when... like I said, when I was like 11, so yeah. Then they met and kind of around that age, but we didn't get along. He was like borderline abusive and not awesome to me. He was not really
you're
great. Like,
yeah, you're not my dad.
Yeah, he sucked. So it was, but I only had to deal with him for like 5 years or something, and then they got a divorce, and me and my mom lived on our own for a while, and then she got a job in Rochester and moved out of the house that we were in, and then I got roommates. I was like 19 and had a house with roommates.
Oh my gosh.
It was a fun little start to my college experience.
You kind of like grew up fast.
Yeah.
Well, I could imagine being with a single mother, you had a lot more responsibility.
Totally.
Yeah.
My mom was, you know, she did her best, but she was like a working woman.
That's a lot. I mean, you have to, right? To afford to pay for everything and then, you know, I mean, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is so cool that now you have this giant family.
I know, right? I'm very lucky.
Yeah, you are.
I'm very lucky, and I'm lucky that everyone's been so, like, receptive and warm to me.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
Oh, I love that so much.
I'm pretty into it.
So do you think you look more like your siblings on your dad's side or your mom?
Dad's side. Oh, yeah. My God. It's not say, even yeah. close. Do you want
to
see a picture?
Yeah, I would love to. Oh, the Puerto God. Ricans took over.
Oh, it's not. It's not even close. It's not even close.
See, it's funny that you say it because I have a friend who's half Puerto Rican, half German, and you guys look kind of alike now that you say that. I'm like, that's crazy.
Okay, I want to show you this one of the whole family.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Okay, check this out. So that's my sister AJ in the back.
Oh my gosh. Okay, isn't give me it. Let me see. Hold on.
That was the first day that I met my sisters.
By the way, these are Robbinsdale people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recognize a lot of them from Birdhouse.
Do you know Melissa?
She lives
in Robbinsdale. That's my cousin that I initially reached out to. That's Melissa.
The one I'm like, I know her. Yeah, I she's like pretty, how, but yeah, I know
she's
her.
Pretty active in the Robbinsdale like community.
I've met her at Birdhouse.
Her and her husband, Chris, yeah.
Oh my God, you all look so much alike.
Isn't that wild?
So wait, that's the one you reached out to?
Was Melissa. Yeah, Melissa first. That's her brother, Miguel.
Oh my God.
That's her dad, Angel. That's my sister, Tina.
Oh my gosh.
That's my sister, AJ. And then those are their boyfriends.
Oh my gosh.
And not pictured is Blake. And Sandra is Angel's. And then my dad is not. Yeah, in
who's
that
your
picture.
Dad? Is he on the second page?
Deb is his wife. And then, okay, I'll show you the pig's picture.
Is his wife, like, so excited to meet you, too?
Yeah, she was all about it. This is my dad.
Whoa!
I know. Even, like, both wearing a white shirt.
Oh my gosh, this is wild.
Wild. So, yeah, like, even read the caption.
Look
like,
at your
all right,
eyes.
So
like, you have the same eyes.
I know.
Same goofy smile.
And you're just like, I was very content with the idea of, I'm never going to know. I'm never going to know my dad. I'm never going to know who it is or whatever. But you just have that, like, curiosity, and you're like, and then all of a sudden, one day.
You're the same shirt. Your Puerto Rican chest hair hanging up.
Very hairy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's so great. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Weird.
Ugh.
It's freaking weird.
And the fact that you already had a house in Robbinsdale.
I know.
And everybody's there. Do you just feel like sometimes certain things are meant to be?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe? Yeah. It didn't sound like you agreed.
No, I mean, I don't know. I've gone back and forth about that whole... you know, spirituality and what is destined or not. And
you were pretty spiritual at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, I feel like there's been moments in my life where I felt like, you know, I was being used as a instrument of a higher power or something. But then also that could just be mania. Oh, that's a mental disorder, actually. depends on who you talk to, I guess. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to have more spirituality in my life or have some kind of faith-driven center, but I'm not currently really practicing.
Yeah. But yeah.
Probably should.
Well, I don't know. You should is a... I learned that shoulding should's a bad... Yourself. Yeah, don't... Yeah. It's a bad word.
Don't should all over
I
yourself.
I think that wherever you are is where you're supposed to be, as long as you're true to yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And being more true to yourself is... something power. Completely not even in the spiritual realm. It's more of like how authentic can you live and be honest with yourself, and
that is
something I have been doing.
Yeah, and I think that's more important than.
And I think you will get there whether you try not. I mean, if you try to avoid it, it will just blow up like a volcano one day.
Absolutely. Because
you'll just be who you're supposed to be eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I believe that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just like with mental illnesses and stuff. I always just wonder, like, I don't know. Just like, how do we get here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When do we get to learn about, like, the brain and how that works? Because we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre.
Totally. I mean, we have a little bit, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my own issues with mental health have been very interesting, because a lot of it, you know, like, I think before I had any issues, I always kind of felt like, oh, there's got to be some element of choice in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't.
No.
There really isn't. Like, for at least in my experience, there's been times where I've been completely sober and just, like, a flip switches. And
yep.
You just, like, become this other thing. And you're just like... Someone, there's just really nothing.
What can you do, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
hard to explain. It sounds unbelievable, but it's like having a seizure. Like I felt like there was one instance where it was basically like having a seizure is what happened.
Yeah, like it just flipped on you, like randomly. Nothing really triggered.
Really triggered it.
No, what can I ask? What mental health that you go through?
Yeah, well, I'm. Like mania, bipolar symptoms.
Okay.
Been like, for a long time it was like either I'd be at baseline kind of around average or like super high.
Yeah.
Really, really larger than life. Everything's amazing.
Yeah.
So many ideas, so much creativity, so much this, so much that. Like insane busyness.
Yeah.
In the mind and in the actions and, yeah, it started, I think it was like 2015, we were touring with Enemy Planes at South by Southwest, and everything was going so well. Like, it was, we were like on top of the world, and it just like triggered this mania, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I felt like spiritual, like I felt like, like otherworldly. And I was like, I need to get sober. So I didn't like drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything. Cause I'm like, no one's going to believe me. everyone's going to think you're just like on drugs. Yeah. And I was like, so I'm going to get off drugs just to like prove that this is some weird, I know it was wild. So, I struggled with that for, quite a few years.
Did you take medication for it?
I did for a long time.
Yeah.
And then actually, so I have like a professional team, like I'm therapists and med doctors and everything.
Yeah.
But then in the last like couple of years, I started getting more like depressive, like
the opposite, worst of bipolar. Yeah. It's like
yeah. And so then with my med team, we kind of decided like, well, I haven't had too many up issues lately, so like let's cut back on the meds and see if it levels you out a little more. And so now I only have, like, emergency, like, as-needed meds. So if I feel, like, super high and I need to just crash and just
go to sleep. Yeah, I can feel this.
I can take a couple and just be, boom, I'm done. So,
You know, it's a very common, bipolar is very common. Yeah, like, I know totally. So many people.
Yeah, my mom had it, too, but she was more depressive and, a lot. I think it runs in a lot of people's families. But.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, isn't it? It's so. I mean, I think it's normal. I don't know. Maybe I don't. But I hear a lot of people just in smaller doses saying like, they go from like go to like, oh, I'm gonna stay in bed all day, and it's like this weird flip. Maybe not as an extreme as some, you know, certain people, but I don't know. It's interesting. Psychology, like, was very interesting to me.
Sure.
But, yeah, anyway, I'm sorry that you have to...
No, it's...
deal with that.
It's been pretty... I've been pretty stable lately.
But a lot of really good artists have
bipolar. I know, like, when I am able to, like, tap into indulge into a few hours of...
The mania,
it's, like... That's when I feel the most creative. I, like, want to... write something, or I'll like want to dance, or I'll like, you know, I'll like have those kinds of
feelings,
right? And it feels good, but then if you lean into it too far, it can spiral into like more destructive behavior. So
right. You don't.
So I've learned to avoid that drug.
Yeah, that's naturally occurring.
That naturally occurring drug, which is very tempting. But.
Now, I'm sorry if I'm getting too deep, but is there anything that like drinking or smoking weed or anything that helps balance that normally, or is it?
No, when I smoke, after a gig, usually if I'm I'm almost home, driving home, and I'm like kind of still riding the wave of the gig, I might smoke a little bit and then just like let that creative energy carry on for another hour or so. And maybe I'll do a live stream, or maybe I'll do, or a, something. Right. But that's usually the only time that I'll like really like smoke or anything. So I've been trying to keep it more to like the end of the night kind of a thing. It's like, it'll like kind of be buzzy for a little bit and then it'll be a good like setup for the dream world.
Yeah, there you go. Take it. Take me away. Mm-hmm. That's funny. I can't. I mean, I was just telling Joe today, I can't day smoke. Mm. Because I used to, like, do podcast episodes where I'd be like, oh, I'll smoke a little weed and we'll, like, chat and whatever. And it was fun. But, like, I would go to the grocery store on the way there and it was a frightening place. I'm like, this is not for me.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think as I've gotten older, smoking around other people and in public is just like, I don't like this. It's like there's no enjoyment part of it. Yeah. There's no enjoyment.
I can feel people more. I'm like, your reaction was really aggressive. Yeah. I can't even with you.
Yeah. I think I kind of dig these like little 3 milligram drinks now they got at the bars and stuff. You can just kind of slip into something. It's real. Like you have one or two of those at the bar and you kind of don't even really know that you're starting to be a little high, and then when it comes on that slowly, I feel like it's a little bit better blend of like the real you and a high you. It's like a little bit slower of a transition, so you can kind of plan your exit a little better. I don't know.
No, you're right. I like it. I like the beverages, drinking the THC. I can't do smoke. First of all, my lungs are so baby. And then, like, it hits me, and I'm just like, that was too much at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the drinks where you're like, okay, this is this much. Yep. I can sip it. Oh, okay, that's good. We're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally agree. So my big question.
Oh.
No, it's not that big. What got you into music?
I was in high school and I was sitting at the lunch table with some friends and they were starting a band and everyone was going on like, oh, I play drums, I play guitar, I'm going to sing. And they point at me and they go, you're going to play bass. And I was like, what? I've never played bass before.
That was just it?
Yeah, that was it. They're like, and I really actually thought they were joking, and they're like, no, we're all getting together this weekend. You're coming over. We're going to figure it out.
Oh, cool.
And so then I did. I got dropped off by my mom. I was like 15 or 14 or whatever it was. And I show up. I'm like, hey, guys, are we going to go play baseball or what are we doing? And they're like, no. Here's the bass.
Oh, my gosh.
We're coming downstairs and you're going to learn how to play the bass. And I was like, oh, you weren't joking. So the first song, the guitar player sat me down. He's like, all right, this is how you play Lit, My Own Worst Enemy. It's one note, though, or like very simple. Boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 boom. That's like basically the whole song.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And so then we started playing it. I was like, oh my God, I'm playing music in a band right now. What is my life? And it just like hooked me right from the beginning.
You loved it. Did you play in a garage?
I think we were in a living room. We were in someone's house. We were in our drummer's house.
But you'd never had any garage shows?
Oh, yeah. We've had garage shows.
Those are the best. High school garage shows are my favorite.
Yeah. We had.
I mean, I guess when I was in high school. But I would still love it as an adult. I'd be like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'd be that parent. If I had kids, I'd be the parent to be like, yeah, turn the garage into a show. Invite your friends.
Invite your friends. Yeah. No, I was in high school. And then, so I played with that band for a little bit. But then they kicked me out because they said it wasn't good enough.
Oh,
but then that gave me motivation, right?
And
I loved it. I was like, it hooked me right away. And then my cousin was already playing guitar at that time. He was super into Metallica, so I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll learn a bunch of Metallica songs. Like, locked myself in a room for a summer and just learned all the Metallica songs.
Cool.
And so then I got like pretty decent, and I was like, okay. And then I joined my first high school band that I really loved. We were called Toast back in the day.
Like the
bread. Yeah.
But like the bread, but also like, isn't there a band called Toast? Like oh my God. What is wrong with my brain today? A ska band called Toast?
There probably is, but we were in high school, and this is like early 2000s, so we didn't care about.
No, of course you didn't care. I love the name Toast, though.
Yeah, no, it was hilarious. I love our drummer at the time was watching the Olympics, and an ice skater fell, and the announcer was like, "Whoa, she's Toast."
Ah!
And then we laughed, and we're like, maybe that's good enough. Let's go with it.
I like it.
But then I was in a band with my buddy Ted, who we became lifelong friends, and that's who I started the MTVs with, like, 15 years later.
Yeah.
So he was the one that really, like, helped me get the cover band thing off the ground.
Cool.
And, yeah, he was also the one that had the idea, we have this guitar that's got two outputs, and the second output goes to an octave pedal and then to a bass amp, so it sounds like there's guitar, bass, drums, and two vocals with just two people.
Cool.
So we were able to, like, kind of charge for, like, a full band, but there's only two dudes, so that's how we, like, kind of made decent money as a cover band, as a duo.
I like that.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Cool.
That was fun for a long time. But yeah, just played in high school, and then I got the bug, and out of high school, I joined my first, like, touring group. It was called Holiday. We were, they were, like, a half original, half cover band.
Okay.
But that was the first time I was ever in a full-time band, and it was, like, I don't know, 2007 or something, and it was like, yep, this is what I want to do.
Like,
I'm going to do this forever.
Yep. Like, yep. That's awesome.
But that band, I was only in that band for a year or two, and then the singer moved on to other things. And that's when I learned the lesson of, oh, I have to book my own shows, because when that band ended, I had no job.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then that kind of started that process. But then I joined Pictures Then, like we talked about earlier, because they were a touring band, but they were original, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to join an original band that was touring. And so then for like the next 10 years, I just like toured with a band.
Was it fun to travel in a van and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
that
living,
sounds fun.
Living in and out of a van.
Yeah.
Playing music and being on stage and
fun.
Not giving any fucks.
Yeah.
So
I think that sounds fun. Now, listening to your stories, I don't hear you like ever saying like, oh, I got a job at Walgreens as or a cashier, or is that true?
No. Well, when I was with Enemy Planes and pursuing music, I always had serving gigs.
Serving, okay.
That was an industry. Yep. It was from 2012 to 2016. I was in, worked at Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, nice.
Downtown. Worked
at
every position in that place. Expo, wage assist, server, manager.
Oh, yeah.
All the things.
Okay.
Prior to that, before I got into music, I was in like high school and college. I was like a camp counselor. I worked at this place called Peak Adventures, and we did like water parks and went to Valley Fair once a year.
But that sounds so fun. You just like
fun.
Ride buses again.
I was
again.
A big kid. Yeah.
So again, you just ride around buses and go on adventures.
Yeah.
So not too far off, except with smaller humans.
Just with just like I'm responsible for 15 little people.
Yeah.
Which is really easy. And it was really great, actually. That time in my life was super fun. The kids were really great. I tried it again later in life and was in a different area of the city and didn't like it.
So
the kids were really nasty to me. So I was like, I must have got older and not as likable.
Oh, no.
And so then I didn't last very long with that, and then I
had a different area in the city, though, different place too.
Yeah,
maybe different vibes.
Yeah, exactly. So I haven't gone back to any of that kind of work. I've been lucky enough to be able to make it now with music in my house, and then the pickleball thing lately has just been for funsies, kind of.
So fun.
So fun.
So many funsies. That's awesome. Dude, your life is so great.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is so cool. Yeah, and I'm glad that we crossed paths, because we kind of don't know how the fuck we've never...
Yeah,
we just,
I think Enemy Planes, but I don't know.
No, I don't know if you remember, but the only thing I remember is... Let me think where I was at that time. Northeast 2016. Mm-hmm. I helped you guys move your equipment out of... Day Block.
Oh,
I think that's where I met you.
Okay, yeah, that would have been Sean's benefit show. Mm-hmm. We finally released Beta Lowdown, which we had sat on for too long. A little piece of advice for anyone, don't sit on your music. Just don't do it. Just get it out.
Get it out there.
Just get it out and write more.
I love it.
But yeah, 2016, that was the year. That was the last, oops, sorry. That was the last year I was in that band. And then there's actually supposed to be a show this year.
That's what I heard from you.
Yeah, yeah. But some things are now it's up in the air again. But we did do some rehearsals, and they did have a show, but I couldn't do it because there was a pop rock show I had to do. But, you know, there might be an Enemy Planes show in the future that I actually get to play.
Fun. Which would be cool. And Enemy Planes kind of took off, too, pretty big. And
yeah, we had a few nice moments as a band.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And then, oh my gosh, what was I going to say? My brain. Now I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay. So do you write the music or do you help write it or how does that work?
With Enemy Planes, I was pretty much the bass player would come up with the bass lines.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we would write the music together as a band, but
fun.
But Casey was like kind of the main lyricist and songwriter. I have done some solo stuff on my own and I've released like two albums and stuff under my own name, but I always felt like collaboration was more my vibe.
Yeah. How do you, so like writing your stuff, how do you stay motivated? And like, how do you get in the mood of like inspiration? Does it come to you or do you like have to like get into your little meditation corner? Like, how does that work?
Well, back in the day, because the first album was 2013, and then I did another one in 2018, and then I haven't done much since, because I feel like I said everything I wanted to say, so I haven't really had much to say.
Sure.
Personally, like, I'll do a couple, like, little song bits and little song ideas here and there, but they don't really, like, evolve into a full-blown album, because
I just want to say I know somebody that wants to work with you.
Okay.
And do some music that they've written.
Okay.
That lives here.
Nice.
anyways.
Yeah. Well, I would talk to him.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, just thought of that.
Yeah. But no, I think these days I think it's more like you got to find a workout buddy.
Yeah.
You know, like find accountability buddy.
Yeah.
Like somebody you get together and just write stuff. I have a group that like a songwriting circle. And so that's pretty much my main reason to write these days is for that group. So you don't want to show up empty-handed.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just like, I don't know, I'm kind of over writing an album and putting it out and
doing then all everyone's that work. Like, woo, yay.
Yeah, no, good
like,
job.
It does, like, where does it go? Do
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've done so much of that in my life.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll just wait until I have something really important to say.
Yeah.
You know, or if I need to say something or if I'm processing something and I'll write a song. I mean, I've written some songs and stuff, but I just don't like
finish therapy.
Them or put it. Yeah, I don't feel that like need to like record them and put them out anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't have the energy for it anymore. I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, totally. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How do we find your Pop Rocks schedule? Do you have a little website?
Yeah, poprocksrocks.com.
I love it. Oh.
I know.
We need to go get those Pop Rocks.
Oh, yeah, we do.
I forgot about that for a second. Okay. Yeah.
Poprocksrocks.com is the site. You can just follow me on socials.
Sweet.
It's just under my name, David LeDuc.
David LeDuc, not Du... Wait.
Dulac.
Dulac. Yeah. Wait, what Dulac. Did I say?
Did you say Dulac, I think?
No.
Dulac.
I don't think that's what I said. I said David...
Dulac or Dulac or something.
whatever. I said it wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome.
It's okay. Everyone does.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This
Thanks for having me.
Too much fun. Pizza, no olives.
Amen.
And I loved, I didn't even know that I was going to get this crazy, amazing Puerto Rican story.
It's bueno. It's very bueno. Muy bueno.
Are you going to learn Spanish now?
I've got a damn near 300-day Duolingo streak.
Perfect. Does your dad speak? Is he from? Yeah. Like, he was born in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he speaks Spanish. And what's crazy is that my sister on my mom's side speaks fluent Spanish. So oh when gosh. She met everyone, that she was just talking in Spanish, and everyone's just loving it. It was like, here I am, just
little white boy. Don't know what you're saying. Little white boy doesn't know anything. Wait, you're a white boy, but you're also not a very white boy. That's hilarious. So your mom's very fair.
She's very.
So in winter, you become your mom.
Yes.
And then in summer, you become your dad.
Yep.
I love it.
It's funny. The guys in Enemy Planes, in the winter, they would call me Pierre, because my last name is Leduc, like French.
Yeah.
And in the summer, they would call me Javier.
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much. And which is so true.
It's so funny.
And now it makes sense.
Now it makes sense. And they nailed it.
They did. Yeah.
Called it.
That's called hilarious. And you didn't look anything like this, the guy Mark.
Well, that guy Mark, he was kind of darker. He had, like, darker features as well. So it was like, well, I could see it. Yeah. And then Kelly, who I met to her, Mark's daughter... She was also, like, kind of darker, but her mom was Korean, I think. And so she had, like, darker features that way, too, as well. So it just kind of, like, you know, we met and we're like, it could happen.
But please tell me you're friends with Kelly.
Oh, yeah. We're still close.
Sibs.
Yeah, we're still sibs, for sure. All
right.
We're so close. Because
that almost broke my heart. Like, that's not going to break it up, right?
I know.
Like,
no, yeah. No. I mean, it did, okay, so, like, to be honest, it did, like... take a little wind out of the sails for a minute.
Yeah, but then you're like, no, nothing changes.
Right, but then you're like, but you're still the same person. You know what I mean? It just takes a little bit of that, like...
We're not actually biological.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... But...
But she was waiting forever. She knew about you.
Yeah.
She did?
Wild.
Wow.
She did.
You're a very loved person. I do have to say that.
I told my sister this the other day. I feel like my life is... Oh, we said that out eating pizza, too. It was like, it's on easy mode. Like, I do feel like it's on easy mode. And I feel like a lot of people, like, I get to wear, like, rose-colored glasses. And I feel like a lot of people show me their best side. Like, I'll hear, like, stories about someone, and I'll be like, I've never seen that side of that person. My best friend from high school, he was, like, telling me about his, you know, one of his relationships, stuff, problems that's happening with his situation. He was, like, telling me stories about stuff he did. I was like... I've never seen you like that before. What are you talking about? He's just like, well, I don't know. So, I'm living a very...
Yeah, a nice, easy life.
Semi-charmed kind of life.
I hope it stays that way, though.
Me too.
Or maybe you're just like this really bright person that like everybody is around there just like, I don't need to like feel anxious. I don't need to feel upset. I don't need to be my toxic self. Because you're so like
I don't
you're
know.
So great.
I think they
like,
hide it. They just hide it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But then
so funny.
But then I don't know. I feel like I'm also maybe too much of a chameleon or something. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
You know.
I can see that.
Too much of a like. Everything's good all the time.
Do you know you remind me of a wave? But you're just like, yeah, I'm over here. I'm over there.
I'm over there.
Oh, this is cool. Like, dude, you know?
I'll help you surf for a little bit.
Yeah. But then once the wind blows, I'm over here.
Let's be super chill now.
No, that's a good thing. No, that's great. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your stories.
Yeah.
It was really fun to hear and get to know you and more. Because as far as we know, we're just passing acquaintances and, you know.
No, well, and I mean, now I've played your wedding, so it's
no,
like,
now you're fam. Now you have another fam.
We are buds.
We're like, on the level. You're like, no, we're buds. Yeah. Let's not get too crazy. I have too many.
You've been listening to the Excelsior Podcast. My name is David LeDuc. It's been a pleasure being in your ears. Find me on the socials and we can be friends. I'll play you your favorite song. I'll see you at a pop rock show.